Well, if you love adventure, listen up, because Rod Imey has just joined me and he's going to be talking about small ship cruising to some very unusual places. Welcome to Up and Away on Radio Q.
Thanks very much for the invitation, Julie.
Small ship cruising. Describe a particular boat and a particular cruise and convince me this is the only way to travel.
Well, it isn't the only way to travel, but it's certainly, for a lot more people these days, it's becoming a preferred method of travel. I mean, we've all done the big cruise ships and they'll always be around and there's certainly a place for those. But within the cruising market, there's a very much a growing a preference for smaller ships. Now, smaller ships have got the ability to travel to smaller ports and smaller islands and use more difficult waterways, narrow passages and rivers and estuaries and so forth. Now, the benefit of that is that you can get to places where there's virtually no tourist infrastructure. You know, there's no big ports, there's no souvenir stalls waiting for 20,000 people to get off the ship. So you're seeing a much less adulterated adventure experience.
And Rod, is this something you do yourself?
I have to confess a personal passion for this type of travel.
But what's the very best journey you've ever been on in a small craft and you think, yes, that was superb?
Well, I think there's several, but the one that does come to mind, and anyone who's done a similar journey will probably agree with me, and that's the Antarctic journeys. They are a small ship haven. Large ships go down there, but they're hampered badly because they can't stop and they can't put 1,000 people ashore because it's against the Antarctic tourism policy. So small ships, typically up to 150 passengers, can stop pretty much wherever they like. Put a dozen or more people into a Zodiac inflatable boat, go ashore, have a look at a penguin colony, have a look at a seal colony, wander very carefully amongst nesting albatross in places like South Georgia or the South Sandwich Islands. It's just an experience that you won't get if you're travelling on one of the big cruise ships, one of the big conventional ships.
You also can enjoy this kind of travel in places like Papua New Guinea.
Papua New Guinea, thank you for reminding me, Julie. And I'm off there again next week. And it is an exploding destination at the moment. The smaller cruise companies have rediscovered Papua New Guinea, and Papua New Guinea is one of the last true frontier cultural destinations.
Mm. Describe a journey you've gone on there in a small boat and was special about that way of travel?
Well, the one that always comes to mind is the Kiriwina in the Trobriand Islands. Now, most people, including myself, don't know where the Trobriands are until we have a look at a map. Now, they're just off the eastern coast of Papua New Guinea, not far from the town of Ulatau, which is right on the end. War historians will know Milne Bay as the most well-known region, and they put on a great show. I mean, it's not overt or lascivious, but it's, should we say, it's along the lines of a Las Vegas show.
And how did you find out about that location?
Well, the boat that I travelled on, which was operated out of Cairns by Coral Princess Cruises, used that destination as part of a wider itinerary in the Solomon Sea, visiting New Ireland, New Britain, Bougainville, and other places in the region, Ferguson Island and so forth, the Entrecasteaux Group, another one.
And with me on Up and Away is Rod Imey, and he's talking about small boat cruising, a very unusual way to travel. Take me to another part of the world where you think the small ship offers a kind of travel experience that is very, very unusual.
Well, the other one that comes to mind is the Galapagos Islands. It's another one where small ships really come into their own because we've got another very delicate, fragile ecosystem where large ships really are unwelcome and uncomfortable. You want to put small groups of people ashore at a time. I'm talking dozens of people. And you can wander amongst the wildlife and interact with the wildlife, which is completely tame and unruffled by human presence, and you can just enjoy it. Now, if you were part of a group of people of, you know, 200 or 300, it would just make a mess of it and you wouldn't really enjoy it.
Rod, is there a part of the world that you're yet to visit yourself but is a dream for you because you believe going there in a small ship is going to be something quite unusual?
Yeah, I've got my eye very solidly on the Kamchatka Peninsula on the eastern shore of Russia. It's a volcanic area. It's got some very unique ecology, wildlife, landscapes, volcanic. It's part of the fiery rim of the Pacific. And there's a company in New Zealand now beginning to take people into that region. So I'll be looking forward to that. Fingers crossed.
And how do you find out about this? Is it through conversation? How do you find out about unusual or rare locations?
Well, okay. There are numerous publications which you can pick up anywhere. Cruise Passenger Magazine is another good source of all kinds of cruise ship destinations, large and small. If you're reading the newspapers, if you are on the internet, of course, it's wonderful for that. And a lot of word of mouth, because some of the small ship operators don't broadcast or advertise as widely as the larger vessels.
Well, thank you very much for coming on Up and Away here on Radio Q.
A great pleasure. Thank you, Julie.
Rod Imey, and he's been talking about small boat cruising as an approach to travel. You're on Radio Q.